All right, I want to invite you to take God's word and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. This is the end of our More series. I hope you've enjoyed it. I sure have enjoyed preaching it. And if you've missed any of these messages, I encourage you to go online, download them, download the app. You can listen to them on your way to work as you're working out. But this is the conclusion of what I think has been, 11, 12, 13 messages. Now, since I was a child, I have always had a hard time focusing, my wife can attest to this, on the task that is before me, okay? When I was growing up, they didn't really diagnose ADD or ADHD. They didn't have the medication that sometimes they provide for kids who are a little too hyperactive, a nervous energy, if you will. My mom assures me if they would have had it, I would have qualified for it. And again, Debbie would amen that. I'm telling you, you have no idea, Champion Force, you have no idea how hard it is for me to sit down every week and write a message like this, okay? I've got to get off campus because if I'm in my office and I hear somebody talking, I feel like I'm missing out on something. I need to be there. I've got to silence any kind of notifications because if something dings, I am all in. And so it takes a lot for me to just sit down and to concentrate. As long as I've been alive, it's been this way, just a trouble with focus. I mean, it's squirrel. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's over there. I see it. And yet, today is all about finishing the Christian life. It's referred to as a race in Scripture. It's all about finishing it and finishing it well. And if we're going to finish well, perhaps what is needed more than anything is what I struggle with a lot, and that is the ability to focus. I'm calling the message today, Finishing Faith. And if I was to put the sermon in a sentence, here's how I would put it. Our focus determines our finish. Now, all of us want to finish strong. All of us desire to finish well, like those Aggies yesterday, all right? Y'all better be at church. I know some of y'all are making so many deals with the Lord, all right? You're here, that's good, gig 'em. You know, we do want to finish well. I've never met one person that said, you know what? I want to begin my Christian journey. I want to live for the Lord all of my days. And then at the very end, I just want to blow it. Never met anybody that thought that or has said that. And yet we've all seen people in different stages of life, they get off course. They lose sight of what's most important and they do not continue in what they once started so strongly in. We all know people. They used to sit on the same row as us here at church. They used to be in our life group. They were active in their faith, engaged in the life of the church. And yet now, they're nowhere to be found. Today's message is going to address how we can finish strong. It's what the writer of Hebrews wanted for his audience. He didn't want them to give up. He didn't want them to back down. He didn't want them to throw in the towel and quit on their faith or on Jesus. He wanted them to finish strong. And what he communicates to them here in Hebrews chapter 12 is that their finish will be determined by the strength of their focus. Again, our focus determines our finish. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we have looked at this over the course of this fall, 40 plus names and examples given to us of Hebrews chapter 11. This is the therefore, all of these people who have run their race, all of these people who have lived by faith, they've given us an example. And the writer says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If you look, verse 3 continues, consider him that endured such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Writer of Hebrews paints a beautiful picture here of the Christian life being like a race. Now that's imagery that is used throughout the New Testament in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Writer says, but I do not account my life of any value nor is it precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, if I may finish my race. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Verse 26, he says, I do not run aimlessly. All about running, all about a race. 2 Peter 4, 7, he comes to the end of his life. Listen how he describes this. I mean, this would be on his epitaph. These are his last words, so to speak. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. This life we are living is like a race. It's not a sprint. Some have compared it to a marathon. I think it's more than that. I think it's a marathon with an obstacle course through it. More like gladiator races, Spartan races. Paul called it a fight. Interesting terminology there. The word race in the original language actually comes from the word where we get our English word agony. And so the race of life, the Christian life, it's like a long marathon with obstacle courses throughout. There's twists, there's turns, there's ups, there's downs. There's pain that's associated with it, agony. And it feels like this, doesn't it? For those of us that have followed Jesus for any amount of time, isn't it true we get tired in this race? Sometimes we want to quit. Sometimes we just need a break. Feel like we need to catch our breath, get some water. The race of life is no joke. The question is, how do we keep our focus in a race like this in order that we don't just finish? I mean, my heart is burned today. Not that we would just finish, but we would be a people that finish well, that finish strong. I want to suggest four ways that we can finish well, finish strong, have a finishing faith. They're all lifted out of the text. The first is to look around. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the first part. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people that we've looked at up to this point, the Bible says they are witnesses, and they are surrounding these Hebrew believers as they attempt to run their race. Each person named and unnamed. Important to note, they have finished their race. They've crossed the finish line. They know what it is to complete the marathon. As we've studied their life, we've seen that these men and women listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they're just like me and you. They're imperfect people, frail in many ways, weak. They have good moments, they have bad moments. Not a one of them has it all together, and yet these people are listed in the hall of faith, and they're given to us as examples to look to and follow. They have completed our race. This means we look to them, and we can say if they finish their race, we can finish ours. Provides a little bit of inspiration. I remember when I was first starting my master's, I was looking at like a 93-hour program, Master's of Divinity. I thought, how on earth am I gonna do this? And so I'd go to class and I'd look to people to my right and my left and they were doing their work and I'm thinking, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And then I'd go to graduation at the semesters and I'd have friends that are graduating. I'd see them walk across that stage and get their diploma. And I think if they can do it, I can do it. And just their example of finishing, it encouraged me. Not only is it clear that this cloud of witnesses has finished their race, they've completed the marathon, but the insinuation of how this is written, notice the witnesses surrounded the Hebrew believers of their day, they're surrounding us as well. Now scholars debate, can they actually literally physically see us, how we're living, what we're doing? And truthfully, we'll never really know until we get to the other side. We'll find out one day. However, the language here is purposeful. The text says we are surrounded by, we're encompassed by this cloud of witnesses. And listen to me, whether they see us or not, that's not really important. It doesn't really matter. The fact that they're surrounding us, what it means is, what's really important is that we, by faith, because of a record of their testimony in Scripture, we can see them. We can look at their life. We can read their example. And again, because they finished in faith, we can be inspired to finish strong, finish in faith as well. A couple of weeks ago, my two oldest daughters decided that they wanted to run a race, a 10K. Now, I've been running lately, and I feel like because I've been running, you should know about it. I've been running. And I signed up, they signed me up for the Whataburger 10K, all right? Down in the Energy Corridor. And so people that saw this, I put the picture on Instagram. I did finish, okay? People that saw that, man, that must have been such a great memory that motivated you to run with your daughters. I wasn't motivated to run with my daughters. I was motivated for the free Whataburger after that they gave, all right? That was the motivation. But I did cross, and I brought my little Whataburger ribbon just to show you. Thank you. Thank you. I should just preach with it on the rest of the sermon. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I got to about mile four. And when you got back to mile four, it was, you know, a little bit of a loop there. When you got to mile four, that's where the crowd was. And they were cheering you on. And some of them had signs they were holding up. Some of them were ringing a bell. They were yelling out your number. And as you ran past them, kind of got a little pep in your step, you know? Ran a little fat, picked up the pace. It was awesome. Well, that's the picture that's being painted here in the Scripture. That we have this cloud of witnesses that have run their race. And what Hebrews 11 is they're watching us now run ours, and they are encouraging us. They're yelling out our name. They're holding up signs. They're ringing a bell. So just think about it. When you are feeling a bit overwhelmed with what you sense the Lord is telling you to do or leading you to do, you just got to look by faith, look around. And you'll see Abraham out there. He's saying, hey, I know what it is to be stretched. I know what it is to be asked to do something that you don't understand. You can do this. Or maybe you're being ridiculed for a stance that you've taken. Maybe it's cost you a promotion. Maybe it's been a hit on your reputation because you weren't gonna cross that line. And truth be known, you're a little discouraged, taken aback at the heat that you've taken for doing something that you thought and considered was because of your faith. If you'll look by faith, you'll see Noah. He's holding up a sign. I built an ark when it hadn't rained. You go, you know what? I can be misunderstood. That's all right. Or maybe you're fearful. Have a little insecurity. Don't think you can do what God's asking you to step into. If you'll listen, you'll hear Moses say, I know what fear is. You'll hear Gideon say, I know what insecurity is. If you're in the fire, there's a trial. And that heat's turned up. And you don't know that you can continue. You can look, see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They'll tell you, I know what it's like to be in the fire, but just endure because a fourth man's going to show up and you can keep going. That's what this cloud of witnesses is. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, if you need encouragement today to keep going so that you finish strong, all you need to do is look around. Slow down. Listen to the witnesses that have gone before us. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I believe these witnesses surrounding us are not just those in Hebrews 11, but it's those who have gone before us. Some of you have parents who love the Lord Jesus Christ and they've gone to be with him. And they're there as an example for you, grandparents. I wrote down the names of people that mean a lot to me, won't mean much to you, but people like Mike Fetchner gave me my first shot and invested his life into me. Joe Perry, who let me live with him because I didn't have a place to live when I moved to Dallas. Joyce Shoebridge, my Sunday school teacher, who taught me from sixth grade to 12th grade. I think about Damon Shook, pastor of this church, gave his life to this church, gone on to be with Jesus. Who is it for you? Take some time this week to close your eyes. Just look around. Listen. When the race is tough, when you want to quit, when you don't think you can go further, look around. Don't focus on how tough the race is at the moment. Focus on the great saints that are surrounding us. They're a cloud of witnesses, a vast number of witnesses. We've got to look around. Secondly, we've got to look within. Again, lifted right out of the text, second part of verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. I love how the NIV puts this. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What are those things in your life that are weighing you down? Hindering you? Impeding your progress? Preventing you from running this race that God has called you to? I want to challenge you today. Ask the Holy Spirit of God. God, reveal it to me. It could be good things, morally neutral things. It can be a relationship that's holding you back from being all that you could be for God, running fully after him. It could be hobbies and interests, entertainment. It could be anything. They're weights holding you down. For some, it's busyness. You're overcommitted. You're running to and from, and you're going at such a fast pace. There's no time to slow down and abide, and you're not remaining in the power source of Christ. And you're running on empty, wondering why you're no longer running, but you're walking and having to stop and take a breath. You're overcommitted. It's been said, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And for some, this busyness is something that's hindering us from intentionally and purposely running as God desires. You look at these runners who run long distances. Man, they're wearing these thin shorts. Not my style, all right? Thin shirts. They don't have anything on them. They're stripped down to nearly nothing. Why? So they can run. Nothing slows their progress. Ask God this week, what is it that you need to lay aside? What do you need to throw off? Look within. He says, not only the things that hinder, but the sin that so easily entangles. Boy, it's a graphic picture. It's a picture of a spider weaving his web. Isn't that what sin does? Get a little dab of it here, and we think we get away with it. We don't get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. The Bible says you reap what you sow. Luke 12:3, what you do in secret, it will be shouted from the rooftops. What happens is, though, we get away with sin. We don't think anything's going to happen to us. The consequences we don't bear immediately, and so we just continue in it, right? A little bit more, till all of a sudden we're wrapped up and we can't run, and we think, what on earth has happened? How did I get here? That's what sin does. It so easily entangles. Sin is insidious. It'll take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you far more than you're willing to pay. And some of us aren't able to run because, again, our focus determines our finish, and our focus is on pleasing self. That's the essence of sin. It's self, capital S-E-L-F. I remember when I was growing, we had field day back when I was in elementary school. You remember field day? All the, you know, school classmates went against each other. Miss Wasner was my fourth grade teacher. It was the Wasner's Wasp, all right? And we were awesome. But there was one contest, the three-legged race. Remember that three-legged race? You get up next to somebody, you put your arm around them, you got a band around this leg, a band around their leg, and they say, go, and you're off to the races, right? Trying to coordinate it, trying to get it. Now, in a race, there's somebody who's going to win that three-legged race. But here's the thing about the three-legged race. You're not going to go fast, and you're not going to go far. And some of us are so tied up with sin, it's like a three-legged race. And you're trying to run, coddling sin instead of crucifying it. And you're never going to run fast, and you're never going to run far. And what the Holy Spirit is calling you today is to throw it off. You think you have that sin under control, and in reality, it has you under control. And I'm just telling you, God brought you, some of you here today, to hear this message. He wants you to finish well. But if you continue in that sin, it will trip you up, and it will cost you far more than you think or want. So throw it off. Throw it off so you cannot just finish, but finish strong. And by the way, some of you feel the weight of that right now, and I hope you do, because that's the Holy Spirit of God getting your attention. That's called sweet conviction. Where it's like me and you right now, we're in a coffee shop, and it's just me and you talking. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is reading your mail. You know you're flirting with disaster. You're getting away with things right now, but you know your heart is far from God. And right now, God is shining a bright light on it. I just want you to know, if that is you, receive that sweet conviction from the Lord, and just know that we serve a God who loves untangling people from their sin and putting you back in the race. That's what our God does. So you came to the right place. Just come to Him in humility and faith. Confess your sin. God, confession is agree. What I'm doing, what I'm dealing with, what I'm walking in is wrong. I know it is. Please forgive me. And He's faithful and just to forgive you. And you get right back in the race. Our focus determines our finish. How are we going to finish in faith? We have to look around. We have to look within. Thirdly, look at this. We look ahead. Verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's a race that is set before us. Before us. Your race is like an individual fingerprint. Your race is going to be different than my race. What God calls you to, and what you have to go through, and the twists and the turns and the obstacles of your marathon are going to be different than the twists and the turns of the race that He has called me to. All of us have a different race, and we're called in this passage to run our race. That's why He says, look ahead. You're not going to get very far trying to run, looking to the left and looking to the right. You look ahead. It's your race to complete. And I want you to notice from the context of Hebrews chapter 11, this whole idea of looking ahead, just remember what the future reward of going by faith was. It's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, verses 13 through 15, verse 39. It was all about this hope. It was all about this future city. It was all about this promise that was mentioned. So when we're looking ahead, running our race, we are looking ahead to hearing, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's the reward. We're looking ahead to seeing Jesus face to face. That's the reward. We're looking ahead to being reunited with our loved ones who have gone on before us. They completed their race. That's the reward. We're looking ahead to this future city where we'll live with God forever and ever and ever. He's been preparing it for us. It's no more death. There's no more pain. It's no more heartache. That's the future reward. And so as we run this race that God has called us to, we look ahead. It's our race. You look to the left, you look to the right, that is not focused running. And truthfully, it trips us up. We look over here and we go, well, I don't have what that person has. I'm not getting to do what this person gets to do. And all of a sudden, you're not looking ahead. You're not going to finish well. Or you look over here and look at the help that they have. Their journey's not near as hard as my journey. And we start looking to the left and we start looking to the right, and we'll never finish the race that God has for us. No, he has set before us a race. We keep our eyes straight ahead. If we want to finish and finish well, our focus determines our finish. We look ahead, and we look ahead to that goal where we will one day be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. It's a reminder, we don't look back, all right? We don't look back. Some of us look back and we go, man, I remember, God, I used to walk with the Lord so awesome back then. Look back. We don't look back. Remember what Paul said, Philippians chapter 3? He said, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I'm not looking back at better days. I'm not looking back at worse days. Some of us are looking back and there's so much shame and there's so much regret. And all we do is look back and you can't finish your race because you're not looking ahead. No, we press on toward the goal of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul would go on and say, let those of us who are mature think this way. The mature Christian says, no, I'm running the race God has called me to. My eyes are on him. We look around, we look within, we look ahead, and then finally we look up. This, of course, means we look to Jesus. Look at verse 2 and 3, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, think on him, reflect on him, mull over this. Him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Word looking here, it means to gaze, to stare intently. All of these heroes of Hebrews chapter 11, they are worthy examples to follow. We glean from their life. That's what this sermon series has been all about. But let me tell you who you gaze upon. Let me tell you who you keep your eyes on. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the founder of our faith. He's the author of our faith. He's the perfecter of our faith. He completes it. Talk about finishing a race. What did Jesus do? He finished his race. Bible says when he was headed up to Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to be persecuted, prosecuted, put to death, he set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. That's focus. And he went to the cross, and he died on a cross for our sins, and he was buried, and he was raised to life on the third day. And the scripture says right here, he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Love that. Seated. Is there anything better when you've been busy getting after it all day? Is there anything better than just sitting down? You got your chair at your house. I mean, just, whew. You know why you can sit down? Because your work's over. It's complete. It's finished. And the scripture says we need to consider Jesus. We look to Jesus, who for the joy set before him, joy of obeying the Father, joy to reconciling us to his Father for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorned the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is now sitting because his race is over. His job is complete. And when we look to him, we can get strength. My girls will tell you, my motto to them in text messages and cards, things that I just want to pour, eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Jesus. Because you keep your eyes on Jesus, you can endure. You can be faithful to the end. You know, they say that marathon runners hit a wall at some point in the race. I've never run long enough to hit the wall, but they say about mile 20, you hit a wall. And there are some of you in this room, you've hit a wall. And you might not be a senior saint who's been getting after it for a long time. You might be a teenager, but you've been following Jesus. And there's temptations coming at you. And you're looking at some of your friends and you're thinking, I just don't know if I want to keep going. I don't know if I can get past this wall. There's nothing in me that wants to put another foot in front of the other. I remember when I first heard this passage of scripture preached. I must have been 17 years old, maybe younger than that. And the person preaching preached this passage of scripture, and as he was preaching, all the lights in the room went off. And there was a spotlight on the preacher. And he began to preach this passage. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for whom the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And he said, I want you to imagine, and I'm talking to those of you that maybe feel like you're hitting a wall. Is it worth it? Do I want to finish? I just want you to imagine in the stillness of this room, the darkness of this room. Is it worth it? Abel says, it's worth it to offer God a better sacrifice. Enoch walks in the room. We're surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses. He says, hey, it's worth it to walk with me. It's worth it to walk with God by faith. Noah, it's worth risking your reputation to obey God and do whatever he tells you to do, no matter how crazy it may sound. Abraham and Sarah walk in. Hey, it's worth it. It's worth it to believe a promise, even if you have to wait on it for over 20 years. It's worth it. Jacob, it's worth it. Joseph, it's worth it. Moses, he comes in the room. It's worth it. It's worth confronting your fear. Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, it's worth it. Named and unnamed, we've got this great cloud of witnesses, your grandparents, your parents. People who have gone before you, they are surrounding us right now and they are saying, you can finish strong. But here's the beauty of this. The greatest witness is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's watching over our lives. He has set our race for us. And if you listen closely, if you allow your eyes of faith to see it, you'll see the Lord Jesus Christ saying, just keep your eyes on me. Your focus determines your finish. You can finish well. You can finish well. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.